Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Ernest Shackleton Loves Me is an inventive new musical running off-Broadway at the Tony Kaiser Theater in New York City. The show stars Groove Lily's fierce electro-violinist Valerie Vigoda and the charismatic Wade McCollum. It's directed by Obie-winning director Lisa Peterson and features music composed by Brendan Milburn and lyrics by Valerie Vigoda.
Oh, never give your money to no musician
or explorer.
Don't give us dollars, shekels, pesos, pounds, or yen.
Because despite our best intentions, you'll need legal interventions if you ever want that money back again. Because you know we ain't like other folks. We push and pull and pry and coax the beauty from the boring and mundane. We don't know from financial things. We live like paupers, dream like kings. And everybody thinks that we're insane. Better, brillianter and broker than we're often mediocre. We'll be better off without it anyway. Better, dirt poor and inspired than all rich and fat and tired. Down and out musicians and explorers, that's how we're gonna stay.
Quite right.
There's kind of a lot going on with this one, so let's allow book writer, award-winning playwright Joe DiPietro explain.
There is a group called Groove Lily, and I'd seen a show of theirs years ago, and they're sort of like downtown edgy writers. And I saw this great show, and it starred Valerie Vigoda, who is the lyricist of the team, and one of the best, literally, electric violinists in the world, and this great performer. And I saw this show, I'm like, oh my God, I love this music, and who is this woman? She's a star. Like, she's one of those people who has a spotlight on her at all times. She just glowed. She was so magnetic in the show. And I happened to run into them at a party and said, you know, I would love to write with you guys. Pretty much because they sort of write more downtown alternative music. And I'm, I would say, more of a, I write narratives that I think sort of are a little more middle of the road. And I thought this would be an interesting combination, a little uptown and downtown going, which I thought was interesting. And they said, oh, we'd love that, but we want to write something for Val, but we don't want to write, like, you know, a woman trying to find a man or dealing with, you know, we want to write something weird for her, like the Ernest Shackleton story, the great Irish explorer. And I said, oh, that's interesting. Let me think about that. So I went home, and a week later, I gave them an outline of a show called Ernest Shackleton Loves Me, which is about this woman who has reached a crisis point in her life. She is a downtown musician, and she creates all of the music electronically in her own home. So she loops, she does all this really cool hip stuff. She creates this sort of fake environment, which she's retreated into. She's out of money, she just had a baby, and her boyfriend left her, and she's really at wit's end. And it's one night during this terrible winter storm, and she gets a call from the Irish explorer Ernest Shackleton, who says, I have heard your music, and I have traveled through space and time because your music is so inspiring, and I want to take you on the journey of the endurance, which is Ernest Shackleton's famous, amazing journey. And he does.
Joe DiPietro won 2 Tony Awards for Memphis. His other work includes The Second Mrs. Wilson, Nice Work If You Can Get It, All Shook Up, Living on Love, The Toxic Avenger, Over the River and Through the Woods, and I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. Once again, his latest off-Broadway project is entitled Ernest Shackleton Loves Me.
So what do you, as the writer, have to know about Ernest Shackleton to get here? And what did you know before? And what did you learn as you approached the project?
Well, I knew Ernest Shackleton did what's sort of considered the most the courageous and amazing maritime voyage in history. I mean, essentially, he, the early 1900s, he took a crew of 27 men into the Antarctic, and they thought they were going to be gone for a few months, but their ship froze in the ice. And they turned out they were gone for 2 or 3 years. And so they ran out of food. They had to walk across the ice. They had to row across the Antarctic to like find land. And the land they found was desolate. So it's an amazing story about survival and bravery and courage. And so I knew like the basics of that. And I didn't really, but until they had this idea for the show. And I thought, oh, let me actually read about them. And I read The Endurance, which is this wonderful book, which sort of created the myth, though it's true, but the myth of Shackleton's heroicness. Mm-hmm. So I read that book and I said, oh my God, this is like, you actually can't believe people could survive for almost 3 years out in the Antarctic with, you know, clothing from the 1910s, not like the down clothing we have now. And they're eating seal blubber every day to survive, and they're getting wet and they're freezing. But what I loved about Shackleton, which was my in, was that he thought optimism was a form of moral courage. He really thought optimism was an actual way of life, which is such a great, and I think in these cynical times we live in, such a great earnest view of life. And so I thought, oh, that's an interesting, this guy who just is an optimist, and don't we all need some of that now? So when I heard Ernest Shackleton was such an optimist, I thought this is a great character trait to drive us through this story.
So he's a hero in the real world, mm-hmm. a legend. How do you get him on stage, and how do you find someone to play him?
Well, how do we get Ernest Shackleton on stage? You know, Ernest Shackleton, the show is sort of a fever dream because Kat, who's our heroine, has been up for 36 hours with her newborn, and she's been working and trying to hold her life together. And Ernest Shackleton enters her life through a very mysterious circumstances. And so at first we hear about him, but then eventually he bursts into her apartment through her refrigerator and takes her on the journey of the Endurance in the Antarctic in her apartment. And her apartment becomes the Antarctic. So it's a great theatrical leap designed by our great director, Lisa Peterson. And we found both Val and I knew, Val had worked with, and I knew the work of Wade McCollum, who is this young, strapping man with this great voice and who's very funny and very heartfelt actor. And we just put Val and Wade together, and they were magic. And so he's been our Ernest ever since.
And the music you mentioned that she creates is also the music of the show. Mm-hmm. So it's looping, it's created on stage, it's not musical theater straightforward. Mm-hmm. How did you work with Val to fit the songs in the script and the story, and how do you write the show?
Brendan Milburn wrote the music, Valerie Vigoda wrote the lyrics. And so we worked very closely. The original outline I wrote for the show still is pretty much the bones of the show. And then I basically write a scene, and then we speak about it, and then they go off and they write a song and they put lyrics to it, but it's very specific. It's very character driven. And a show like this, which is about an adventure, about an actual journey, it's very specific what happens in each beat of each song. So it was a very close collaboration, and I think we liked working with each other. And, you know, like they do write sort of funkier music, but it's still very melodic. It's still right. Very theatrical. I'm a big believer in music in theater has to reach past the footlights. It can't be internal. It can't be too self-reflected. It needs to have some grandeur and melody to it. And they certainly can both write that.
Talking about finding the beats for this project or anything you've worked on, how did you learn how to do that? I mean, you're successful at it. Congratulations on everything, of course. But when do you know that you're getting it right? And do you need feedback to know that you've gotten it right?
Oh, I think any writer who writes for theater needs feedback. I mean, there's a certain group of people who I give my first drafts to just to get feedback. And I hope for a supportive but tough love from them. And, you know, I basically started in writing for theater about 20 years ago now. And I was just writing shows, and you just keep going. I say no one gives you permission to write. I mean, you have to just do it. And I wrote for a long time and no one cared. And I was rejected for a long time. And then you sort of get a little foothold in it. But someone very early on told me, you know, you should write for musical theater. Don't go to Hollywood because, you know, you write very quickly and very facile, but don't go to Hollywood because you can actually make a living in theater if you keep at this. I think you could be good at this. And I sort of listened to him, and that stuck with me. And so I've stayed. And you basically teach yourself how to do it. You basically teach in a musical when you write, you have to give over the big emotional moments to a song. So you have to be very unselfish, and you have to write towards the song, and then the song has to complete the emotion. Whereas in a play, or you're writing a film script, you're writing the emotion, right? You're writing every word, but in a musical, you're not. So you have to be able to do that. But I'm a firm believer that when musical theater works, it's so thrilling. And musical theater is more popular now than ever, I think. So it's amazing. You know, there's so many people, young people going into it, and there was younger audiences. And look on Broadway, you know, all the musicals are big hits. So if you can get it right, you can really create some theatrical magic.
Musicals take a long time to develop, especially since they play other places. Uh-huh. And the narrative, once it comes to Broadway, that's not always part of the story, you know, the headline. So this show is off Broadway, but same thing. Like now it's in New York. Here it is, uh-huh. It, as if it poofed out of nowhere. Yeah. While you worked on this, you're working on other things. How do you juggle? How do you make that work?
it takes a whole lot of effort to make a show look effortless. And that's your point. It has to look like, oh, it just we were just sitting around the table one night and it came out. But, you know, it takes development and you have to keep at it. And, you know, the final collaboration is always with an audience. An audience really always tells you when they're bored, when they're delighted, when they understand something, when they're confused, when they're moved by something. So you really need to be very open. I always sit in the middle of my audiences for a first few previews to just to feel it. For, you know, it's terrifying, but just to feel what they're feeling. And it's so helpful. But I do work on several projects at once. It's always just been my style. And, you know, I pretty much compartmentalize. I pretty much say, okay, today I'm going to work on this. Generally, there's a deadline involved, so I'm like, I have to work on this because it's due in a week. So, and I've been doing it long enough that I can sort of compartmentalize and say, okay, today I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to put it down and forget about it, work on something else, and then I'm going to put that down and go back to the other thing where hopefully I will have forgotten what I've written and I could attack it fresh.
Do you write every day?
I do write every day. I probably write I would say that I do. Every once in a while, I'll have a day off or I'll be too busy. But I do write every day. I love it. I feel very fortunate that I can do it for a living, and I try to do it as much as I can, yes.
I want to jump back to, you said, sitting in the audience. When you sit in the audience, does a savvy theater audience know who you are? Do they look at you as the writer?
No, I think playwrights, by and large, maybe except for one or two, maybe Stephen Sondheim, not a playwright, but a great, obviously, composer, are pretty anonymous. So I've rarely had... Every once in a while, someone will, but rarely, you know, it's generally, I like to be anonymous. I like to walk amongst the crowd so I can hear honest opinions. And you don't always hear good opinions, of course.
Sure.
So, So I can very much be anonymous, which is very helpful in the way I like it. But I've heard all sorts of things. I mean, I years ago, I was went to see a play of mine that had played regionally all over the place, was big success, you know, clearly was enjoyed by many, many people. And I flew in to see this theater in Kansas City, this big theater that wanted me to come. And
was it I Love You, You're Perfect, No Change, or something else?
No, it was another show called Over the River and Through the Woods, okay. Which is a play about my grandparents. And I sat in this theater, and clearly the show was a big hit, and people were laughing, and everyone was very happy. And then at intermission, I literally am sitting next to a woman who the lights come up, turns to her husband and says, I don't like this. And that was like, and as the writer, she didn't know who I was. She wasn't speaking to me. And I'm like, well, that's what people say when you see a show. You say, did you enjoy it? Yeah, I'm having a good time. Oh, it's interesting. Or I'm a little bored, you know. So you have to be, unlike if you write a novel or a TV show or a movie, that people take, like a novel, someone takes it. You don't sit and watch someone read a novel. You don't know when they put it down. You know when they're engaged. But with a play, you have X number of people a night live, and the group communal experience is part of it, watching your show. So you have to have a pretty thick skin, I think, to do this.
And do you develop that through experience as well? Or did you personally come to it? If I'm going to work in theater, there's people there, I'm ready.
No, I developed it through experience.
Okay.
And I'm still to this day, I get nervous. I've gone to see shows of mine. I just saw a show of mine in Florida called Clever Little Lies that had played last year very successfully off Broadway. And they had one of the first producers to see it, and they invited me down to see it. And it was a big hit, sellout hit. And they really convinced me to come down to see it. And I did. And as soon as I sat there, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I literally thought, what if everyone hates this? I think myself and I think every writer I know are constantly worried about being found out as a fraud. But then the play starts and people start laughing and laughing a lot and I'm fine. But I always have that momentary, like, what did I get myself into? Why am I here? Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. Thank you for your time. It was wonderful to meet you and to speak with you.
You too. I enjoyed it very much.
Joe DiPietro is the writer behind the new off-Broadway musical, Ernest Shackleton Loves Me. The show is presented by Q Theatricals at Second Stage's Tony Kaiser Theater through June 11th. For more information, visit ErnestShackletonLovesMe.com. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.